I'll start the zoning board meeting then.
Okay, she can't keep talking.
Okay. I'm going to start it now. Zoning Board of Adjustment meeting will please come to order. Adequate notice this meeting was provided in the following ways. Notice published in the Courier News, notice posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building, notice made available to the township clerk, notice sent to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Weissman?
Here.
Mr. Hidaka? Oh, he's not here, sorry. Mr. Mitterondo?
Here.
Mr. Ellie?
Here.
Chairman Cahill?
Here. Will everyone please stand for the salute to the flag? I pledge allegiance to the flag.
To the flag. United States of America. One nation, under God, indivisible.
Liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Keneally, do we have any changes to the agenda today?
We have many changes to the agenda today.
Please go slow, my friend.
Hobson, 2602 Wade Street. That will be postponed to December 14th. The applicant must notice. Alan Cruz, Maple Avenue, postponed until December 14th. The applicant must notice. Osbard Knockley, postponed to December 14th, 2023. They must notice the towns. Cass Beverly, postponed until December 14th, 2023. No further notice. Ian Sephardi, 609 Runyon Avenue, postponed until December 14th. They must notice the property owners on the property list. LNR Properties, 60 Normandy Drive, postponed until December 14th. No further notice. Those are all the changes I have this evening.
Okay. Laura, I'm going to need you to babysit me through this one because I did not get a chance to mark off like two or three of these. So I'll start with the first one, which is number 523-ZB-90V. Sheila Hobson?
That's adjourned.
Oh, geez, I'm so sorry, sir.
I think number eight is our
number
first
eight.
Hearing.
Thank you so much. I did not download the update that you sent me, Laura, so my apologies. Number eight, which is 23-ZB-99V, Marza Khalid Bay.
Is Marza Khalid Bay present?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello. I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand? You swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yeah.
Your name and address, please?
Mirza Khalid Beg, 99 Highland Avenue, Piscataway, New Jersey.
Thank you. Mr. Beg, could you explain to the board what you'd like to do here?
I'm applying for a variance to put a fence, and my property is at the corner lot. It's Highland Avenue and Deerfield Avenue. And on the side, I was asking where I can put the fence by leaving 6 feet off the street.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Hinterstein has a report. I think Mr. Chadwick is going to go over.
Yeah, Mr. Chadwick, yes. Could you address some issues here, sir?
Yes. The report was prepared by Mr. Hinterstein. It's dated November 1st. And there are a comment with regards to the fence. The front setback is required to be 35 feet, and a solid 6 foot high fence is not permitted in that location. He and I both recommend that the applicant be given some relief and move the fence 15 feet from the property line, which is less than half the setback. If you've had a chance to look at the street, it's all open in the front yard areas. And to have a fence out at the street level would be a significant change to that roadway landscape. So I recommend to the applicant, you'd have to move the fence back an additional 9 feet. You're proposing six. We're suggesting 15. And in addition, I have a note on your plan that you've agreed to move the shed to conform with the setback requirements. Is that correct?
Is that correct, sir?
Yes, I'm agreeing to move that shed, but I was requesting if I can get, instead of 15 off the street, if I can get 10 feet at least
we're recommending less than half the requirement. I think that's a significant compromise, and I don't want to adjust that.
Yeah. It's not a bad deal, sir.
Yeah.
Compared to what it could be applied, it's actually quite a good deal. A good compromise, I should say. I think if you agree to it, we can move forward and probably approve this application, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I I'll react to the same thing. Is there any room to get at least, you know, to 10 feet instead of 15?
You start at 35 feet.
And yeah.
You move into your variance. You're getting a significant variance. 10 feet does not do it. I suggest you take the proposal from the chairman.
The way the board's going to lean on this one, sir. I think it's a good deal, good compromise, and I would take it if I were you. If not, we can put it to vote now, and I don't, my opinion, I don't think it'd be approved.
Okay, so what if I don't take this now, what do I have to do, sir?
If you don't take the offer from the board will vote on your application, and your current application proposes a 6-foot setback instead of a 35-foot setback. The board never gives that much relief. They will give some relief, but not that much.
Yeah, well, even I thought, and I was actually going with 35 only, but later on my same street, I had seen two houses which had, 6 foot of fence on the Deerfield Avenue, on the same street where I live. So by seeing that, I thought, okay, I might have to, apply for variance, and that's where I put an application for variance.
We don't know if those fences were put up with approvals or with permits, so we don't know if they're legal.
I see. All right, so, yeah, then I'll agree with this. I'll go ahead with 15.
Okay, thank you, sir. Any other board members have any questions for this application or comments? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any comments or questions about this application? Ms. Buckley?
No one, Chairman.
Okay, I'm going to close the public portion, and I will make a motion to approve this application with Mr. Chadwick's and Mr. Hinterstein's recommendations. Can I get a second?
Yes,
thank Steve you. Weissman. Please call the roll.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrondo?
Yes.
Mr. Relly?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Your application as amended has been approved. We will memorialize it in a written document at our next meeting, and we'll send that document to you. You'll need that for your permits.
Thank you so much.
Have a good night, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm walking through muddy waters here. Number nine?
Yes, number nine.
Okay. Laura, read this to me because I don't have the, after the ZBA, I don't have it.
Oh, yeah, because you don't have the updated one.
Right, I know. I forgot to download. I apologize.
Oh, you know.
I know. You hate it when the chairman does this.
23ZB98V, Giatri Nai.
Is 23ZB present? Okay, you're muted. I need to swear you in.
Yes, I'm here.
Could you raise your right hand? You swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Your name and address, please?
Giatri Nai, 23 Redbud Road.
Thank you. Could you explain to the board what you'd like to do here?
So I have a deck that my dad put in, I am requesting to keep the deck. It's 18 by 18 in size. I am removing the railing and the roof over it, and the deck is 6 feet off the ground.
6 inches.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Chadwick, would you please address
yes, both Henry and I agree. This is more like a patio than a deck because it's almost at ground level. Mm-hmm. And moving all the other implements. So we basically think that you would approve it subject to removal of the railings, the roof, the siding, and leave it as a patio in the place where it now exists. Other than that, there's no other recommendation.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chadwick, can you address paragraph 2 with regard to the fence?
So that fence is not our fence. It's the owner behind us. And he already moved his fence 7 feet inside. So the fence does not exist anymore there.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other members of the board have any questions for this application? Any comments? No? Going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any comments or questions for this application?
No one, Chairman.
Okay, hearing none, I'm going to close the public portion and I'd make a motion to approve this application. They have a second.
Yes, Steve. I second it.
Please call a roll.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ely?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Your application has been approved. We'll memorialize it in a written document and send that document to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good night, Ben. Thank you. Let's move on to item number 14, 23-ZB-64/65V, BYO-USA, Inc.
Mr. Patel appear?
No.
Okay. We do not have a quorum for that application yet. It's a use variance. We need 5 members present to start the application. I recommend that maybe we should do the resolutions.
Resolutions.
And
sounds
try
good.
And reach Mr. Patel again to see if he's going to appear.
I agree. Thank you, Mr. Keneally.
Okay, the first resolution, Walter Hernandez and Tarsila Lopez, which you voted to approve. Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ely?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Next is Sondat Lilia. This applicant decided to withdraw the application during the public hearing. Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ely?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Next is John Minogue, which you voted to approve. Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ely?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Next is Mohammed El Ashri. This was an application for front setback, which you voted to approve. Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ely?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
And last is Equity Land. This was from a month ago. We had some delay regarding the language in the resolution, but it's now set to go. Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ely?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Those are all the resolutions I have this evening. Perhaps we can wait till we hear from Ms. Buckley to see if Mr. Patel is going to be able to join us.
I just spoke to him. Steve Weissman, I just spoke to Cal Pesci. He's joining us now.
Thank you. Okay.
Appreciate that.
Nahal, I don't see Rajiv on.
He's coming now.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean my client.
Rajiv's supposed to be there.
Well, he's on as an attendee. He didn't use the link, so I will. That's Ramesh. What was the name? I'm sorry. There's a bunch of people on here.
Rajiv. R-A-J-I-V.
Shah.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. I will make him a panelist.
Yeah, I think now he's on.
Yeah, I got him. I just sent him in.
Thank you very much, Laura.
You're welcome. Is there anybody else? Because there's a whole bunch of people. Are you missing anyone else while we're waiting?
No.
They just may want to attend and view. That's all. I didn't ask them all to be here, so.
All right.
Rajiv, thank you.
Okay. Okay, we're almost there. Thank you for your patience, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Bless you.
Kalpesh, what's up? What happened?
I don't know.
He's linked in. I'm putting you on speaker, Kalpesh. But say it again, what's happening?
Oh, like, let's say I think I'm going as a public one, that's why.
Laura, can you help him?
I don't see him at all. Is he under a different name?
Kalpesh, you logged in under a different name, sir?
No, hold on. I go to the...
Don't curse
all right,
public.
So you could just...
I go to that public notice one. I click the link.
Yeah, but if you click the link, are you on your phone or your computer?
I'm on my phone. It says an email address is kalpesh.patel. I'm just printing, typing again.
Yeah, Mr. Keneally, I don't know. I sent them the link. I could resend it. I don't know what else to do.
Maybe you should try resending it.
Can you resend me one more time, please?
Yes, they're doing that.
We're going to do it now, Kalpesh.
Yeah, but I have to open the whole thing again, so give me a second.
All right, we got time.
Do we? No, I'm kidding.
Well, we finished those kidding. First two applications in 15 minutes, so.
That's true. We'll give you that.
Okay. I think
webinars, zoning board. All right, I just resent him the link.
Let's give him a couple of minutes to set it up.
Yep. And then what I'm going to do, what a mess. I sent it to him two different ways, Chairman, so one of them should
work. Okay. We'll give it time.
He's almost here. He comes.
Yeah.
Hi,
Kalpesh. Thanks, Kalpesh.
Hey, sorry.
No. Don't worry about it. Thanks for
this. I have to change my device, so.
That's fine. Okay.
Important things you're on. Okay.
Yeah. Let's start.
Mr. Keneally, let's proceed.
All
Mr. Stahl?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. All right, Jim Stahl, S-T-A-H-L, firm is Boris Golden Foley, Vignolo, Hyman & Stahl in North Brunswick, New Jersey. I've had the pleasure of being before you previously. Laura and Jim, Laura or Jim, do we have jurisdiction? Have we had
we're good? Yes, I reviewed the notice. It is adequate. We have jurisdiction to proceed.
Thank you very much, Jim. All right, I have a reputation, which I hope to keep tonight, of being efficient, yet quick in order to get my application through for the convenience of the board. This is an application I must admit I'm rather privileged to be working on, and it's a Hindu temple at the former flower shop at the S-curve on Mettler's Lane. I'm sure all of you who've lived in Piscataway remember the curve and remember the flower shop. I have about five witnesses, but they will move quickly. This project is a result of a township, an applicant partnership, if you will, not financially, but we spent a lot of time with your professionals and our professionals and modified and revised the proposal two times to reduce the size that everyone was concerned about. We think so do the professionals, but they can speak for themselves, feel that it's a very good fit. And when you see the elevations, I mean, it is an absolutely beautiful facility that I think you all be proud to be a part of, assuming we obtain the approvals, of course. I'll give you my witnesses. I have Rajiv Shah, who is a volunteer but principal of the international organization of this temple. I then have the preeminent engineer, Chris Soleil from Menlo Engineering, who will do the engineering testimony. I then have Nahal Harari, an architect specializing in temples. I then have the other preeminent that I use, Mr. Jay Troutman, with regard to traffic. And finally, coming up the backside will be Ed Kohling, the professional planner, who will tie it all in a nice knot. We think we comply. We think we should get this approval for the reasons that Ed will give you. We do not think we're making any impediments to traffic based upon what I'm going to elicit from Rajiv. There is an issue that Chris will deal with later with regard to an additional 25 spaces, which we're going to look for a waiver from, but bank them in the event we need them in the future, so we don't have to come back again. But I think Chris will very adequately describe that. Rajiv, would you please raise your right hand? And do you like to be affirmed or swear?
Affirmed.
Okay.
I'm sorry, he broke up. I didn't hear his answer.
Affirm.
Okay. Sir, do you affirm that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes, sir.
Your name and address, please.
Rajiv Shah, 2831 Taylor Crest, Missouri City, Texas, 77459.
Thank you.
Right, slow down. You'll have to slow down a little bit. All right, your first name is Rajiv, R-A-G-I-V. Your last name is Shah. Is that correct? Yes?
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes, that is correct.
And you are associated with an organization called VYO. Please tell the board what VYO stands for, and please, for my benefit, because I'm not going to pronounce it, spell the V. Rajiv, we're having technical difficulties.
It's a Vallabh Youth Organization. Can you hear me?
Yeah, but you do break up, so just check it out.
Okay. I represent Vallabh Youth Organization, also known as VYO. It's an international organization providing facilities across the globe for the betterment of the youth and the Hinduism.
And you, how many do you have worldwide?
We are in 15 countries, and currently we've got over 80 centers across the globe.
And you have selected on behalf of the VYO the Piscataway location, is that correct?
That is correct.
And you believe that there is a need for it in this community and immediately adjoining communities, is that correct?
That is correct.
Oh yeah, we're not reaching out for people in outer counties, but really the Central Jersey Piscataway area. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes, Jim.
Now, I'm going to try and, until Mr. Keneally tells me I'm doing too much leading, I'm going to try and help you out here. We have a structure which is going to be the temple. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
And how many deities are there?
There is going to be 7 deities in there. Each one of them are different forms of Krishna.
All right. And with regard to those 7, periodically their ornaments and their clothing is changed depending on the holiday. Is that correct?
Well, Jim, it will be changed on daily basis. The ornament and dresses and everything, that changes on daily basis. It's based on the practices that we follow.
And there's going to be food that is prepared for these deities. Is that correct?
That is correct, yeah. So our priest will be preparing the food that will be served on daily basis.
And that is from a kitchen in the temple. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct, yes.
And there will be 2 priests. And in your religion, they are allowed to marry the lower priests, if you will. But so you may have 2, you will have 2 priests on site, possibly with a wife. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
And there are 2 apartments we've knocked off, excuse the phrase, we've eliminated 1. So there'll be 2 apartments with 2 bedrooms each. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Bathrooms, but no kitchen. Is that correct?
Yes, they'll be using the primary kitchen that they have to prepare the food.
Okay. And the role of these priests is to take care of the deities on a daily basis. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
All right. Now, the Mr. Javeri will tell us about the floor plan, but in terms of this operation, you and the other devotees will come into the temple area and you go in a semicircle viewing area to pray to the deities. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, we go and do the services from there.
Now, with regard to that, I'm going to get to the services, and these numbers are approximate, but I'm trying to use the larger numbers so everyone understands. Now, there are services on Saturday and Sunday. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
And that can be anywhere from 30 to 50 people over a 6 or 7 hour period. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
You will have approximately 6 services. So you could have 0, 1, well, you'll always have the priest, but you may have 1 to 6 or 7 participants each of the hours over a 6 or 7 hours. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Now, at the same time that we are doing the temple prayers in the assembly in the big area, you also are going to have a small school being operated in the social hall. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
And the maximum, again, and I'm using larger numbers than Mr. Kohling may have had, anywhere from 30 to 60 people will be in the educational area, but these 60 people are consistent with the other 50 that are at the service. So there could be 100 over the course of a day, 6 hours, but the parents may be at service, the kids may be in a religious education area, or the parents and the children could be together. So it's not as if there's a double up. Am I being accurate?
Yes, you have been very accurate, Jim.
During the week, you expect anywhere from 15 to 30, I think I said this already, on a weekday basis, Monday through Friday, spread over a day, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Now, you also intend to use a social hall from time to time, not for gigantic parties or anything, but for smaller social events and following services, you may have refreshments in the social area. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
But these are the same people who will have gone to the services and now move into the social room to social, to talk, and maybe discuss certain religious topics. Am I correct?
That is correct. Yes.
And you also intend to use, to the extent it works for you, community purposes, whether it's going to be vaccinations, if there's a program, or yoga. You're not going to use this for profit, but you're going to use it for community outreach and to assist the community to the extent they need your help. Is that correct?
That is correct, yeah. And we'll be doing something for stress management and avoiding some depressions and other kind of things as well to help the community so that we can be better.
Like meditation, et cetera. And primarily, you're interested in capturing the youth of the community. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Now,
we have to help the next person.
I'm doing okay so far, right? All right. Now, we have four high holidays a year. Those are in different months because of the calendar that your organization, that the church follows. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, we use different calendars, so which does not align with the Western calendar.
And it's usually a quarterly, four times a year. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Now, the amount of devotees that come to the high holidays could be as many as 200 to 300 people. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Now, that sounds like a lot of people, and it is if you're going to pack them in an hour. But those 200 to 300 people will be spread over services over a 6 to 8 hour period. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
And this is a condition that we're, and in between each service, each 45-minute service, there'll be another 30-minute open period where you're going to have your volunteers control traffic. So after 45 minutes, let's say 1:15, the service is over, your volunteers will go out to make sure that cars safely leave and new cars safely enter. Also, if there's any traffic issue, as indicated by the Piscataway Police Department, we agree to hire any necessary police department personnel for those holidays to control any traffic. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Now, in your experience, you really, this has worked out for you, has it not?
Yes, so currently we have got like four other locations like this in USA, and all of them has been working pretty well, especially from the traffic as well as the people flow perspective.
Right now, one of the conditions we have, and I have to tell the board, I'm pretty proud that it was my idea in a different town, and a different town accepted this, a different type of temple. What's going to happen is when you have the high holidays, you will control how many people are in each service. Is that correct?
Yes.
And then someone's going to say, well, how do you do that? And how do you do that is they will have to sign up on the website and they will get a timed ticket. And that is when they are going to go to that service. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. We are using a special application so that people can register and we give them the timings when which service that they need to attend.
And you believe that this will satisfy any crunch that may occur from too many people coming. Is that correct?
That's true, right? Yes.
Now, I'm going to give you, to the extent I forgot anything, there is a cooking kitchen for the priests and the deities. And then there is a hot table in the social hall, a warming table. Is that correct?
Yes, there will be warming table because we'll be serving the food to the volunteers as well as the participants from time to time.
Right, so it's not a full kitchen. It's really warming tables.
No, it's just warming tables.
You don't intend to cook there. If you were going to do any cooking or food handling, you understand that the organization will have to obtain the necessary food handler's licenses from either Piscataway or I believe it's really the County of Middlesex. You understand that?
Yes, I understand that. Yes.
Now, with regard to, there is no call to worship. I'm sure the board understands a call to worship. We have no horns, sirens, or sounds that emanate outside that would affect the public, indicating worship times. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
So we don't have it. Our architect may say, we have certain, I'm going to call them spiritual or religious additions to the building, which there's a discussion whether they are height or not, but that is part of what you have there. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Now, one last question, and then I'll ask you if you have anything else. The priests that live on site, now, I don't know whether you're familiar with how some other religions work, that being in the Catholic faith, you know, having a rectory nearby the church, and the Jewish faith having a parsonage, and the Protestant also having some type of a house provided to the minister. Is it essential that the two priests live on premises?
Yes, it is essential, and it's must have requirement for us, because it's just like, I'm using a simple analogy, that when doctor goes for the surgery, they need to be prepared just before they go to the operations theater. Similarly, when they're serving the deity, our priest needs to be go through a special process, and hence they need to be on site in the same building.
Right. And I want to ask a question, which, well, it's a necessary question. Under no circumstances, you understand, is anyone to use those two apartments except for the priest? You understand that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And no one is, you under no circumstances do you lease or allow anyone other than the priests to reside in those apartments.
That is absolutely correct, and we won't be doing it either, anyway.
Is there anything I have omitted from my extraction of information from you?
No, I think you've done everything that we discussed has been covered.
Only the board can say that, not you. Okay. Mr. Chairman, subject to questions, I give Mr. Shah to you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Any members of the board have any questions for Mr. Shah? Mr. Stahl, you can proceed with your next.
I have two questions. Oh, Jim.
Please, Mr. Chairman, sorry.
The festivals 4 times a year, would you notify the police department in advance so it doesn't all of a sudden is a, you know, a traffic jam, then the cops have to run up there. That's
not definitely.
Just don't know how safe it would be to have parishioners out in Metler's Lane directing traffic.
No, I will answer, John, because I know that absolutely. In fact, I'm sorry I didn't think of that first, but we will notify the police department quarterly. We'll give them the dates that we're going to have.
Just so it's not surprised. That's all.
Right.
The and other item.
They may have to stop a football game just for this celebration. That's a joke.
What's the other thing? There's no call to worship, but is there any outside parade or anything that takes place outside, or is everything in the building?
Everything inside the building. We don't do anything outside of the building.
Yeah. Well, I just want to clarify that, Rajiv. There is that courtyard outside. Is there a time period when people may sit out there?
People sit out there. Yeah, means they might be coming through there as a small procession, but they won't be making any sound during that time. It's just basically they're just coming and coming in together from there.
Okay.
It's all inside for day and won't be making any louder noises.
Yeah. Each one of these temples has its own character, and sometimes there is outside events and sometimes there are not. You do not?
We do not.
Do you have weddings there?
No, we are not planning to have weddings there.
No weddings, funerals?
In the community hall, we might allow somebody to come out and do wedding, but again, it will be internal, won't be outside.
Okay.
Thank you, John. Any other member of the board have any questions?
Yeah, the number of parking spaces is going to be done by Mr. Troutman.
John, I'll have to leave that for Chris.
Okay.
Chris and Jay Troutman have the calc.
Yes. Okay.
Okay, great. Okay, Mr. Stahl, call your next witness, please.
Thank you very much. Chris Soleil. Chris?
I'm here.
Yeah, please raise your right hand.
Mr. Stahl, that's Mr. Keneally's job to do that. He'll raise his hand.
Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Is your volume on, Chris?
Yeah, I can't hear Mr. Soleil.
Chris, fix your... It's better. Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Jim, can you hear him now?
Yes, I can hear him now.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry about that.
Chris, you were engaged by the applicant, your firm, for site engineering. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Are you please give the board the benefit of your education and licensing?
Yes, my name is Christopher Soleil. Last name is S as in Sam, Z as in Zebra, A-L-A-Y. I currently work at Menlo Engineering Associates, located at 261 Cleveland Avenue in Helm Park, New Jersey. I received a bachelor's degree in civil engineering from the University of Rhode Island in 2008, and I've been a licensed professional engineer in the state of New Jersey since 2013. I've testified in Piscataway before.
I asked that he be qualified, Mr.
Soleil's qualifications are good. Boards. We're good, Chris. Please proceed.
Mr. Weissman has his hand up. I don't know whether that's a mistake or I just wanted Laura to know.
All right,
Chris, you know how I like to do it. I'd like to do the following. I'd like you to present to the board, A, the existing conditions, what it is today, B, what the proposal is for the development, and C, if the chairman agrees, we can then respond to staff comments or do that later, okay?
Sure, sounds good. Now, I have prepared two exhibits, actually three exhibits for you this evening. Is it okay if I share my screen?
Yes.
Yeah, please do.
Can everyone see the exhibit on my screen?
Yes,
it's up there.
Okay, so first exhibit is titled 464 Metlers Lane, Existing Conditions Exhibit, dated 11-9-2023. This exhibit I can mark into evidence as A1.
A1.
Thank you.
And this is an exhibit depicting, with an aerial background depicting the site and the surrounding areas. It shows the existing conditions and it has the property boundary highlighted. And the second exhibit, which I'll mark as A2, is entitled 464 Metlers Lane Overall Plan Exhibit, also dated 11-9-23. And this is a colorized rendering of the submitted overall plan with zoning landscaping turned on and over top of that same aerial background. And the third exhibit, which I'll introduce if we get to it, but it shows where the land bank parking will be introduced. To go through the site description, the property is designated as a rectangularly shaped lot designated as block 9701, lots 28.01 and 28.03, as it designated on the tax map of Piscataway Township. The site contains approximately 327 linear feet of frontage on Metlers Lane, which is a county road, also known as County Route 609. The address is 464 Metlers Lane, which is on the south side of Metlers Lane. Approximately 300 feet from the intersection with Sutton's Lane. And overall, the property is approximately 5.6 acres and is located entirely within the R-20 residential zone. Surrounding the property, you'll see that we have single family residential pretty much on all sides of the property with only Metler Lane frontage and some wooded area to the north and northwest of the property. Under existing conditions,
let me ask you two questions before I forget. North in the northern corner, the northeastern corner, that was a house that BYO acquired in order to square off the property. Isn't that correct?
Correct.
And that was because there could have been issues with regard to driveway exits, etc., and it made sense to acquire the property. Correct? Yeah.
Correct.
And one last question before I forget. I had indicated in my introduction. Working with the township, we reduced the footprint of the buildings about 24%. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Because we wanted to respond to the township's concern on size. Okay, go right ahead now.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so the site is currently developed. It's occupied by two single-family dwellings, as well as a former retail building or Mettler's florist, and they're all located along the frontage along Mettler's Lane. There's currently three curb cuts. There's one to the northernmost dwelling, and then two to the Mettler's florist, and the second dwelling has driveway has access off that that parking area for the florist. The remainder of lot is mostly open space and woods with a small stone or gravel parking area. And then there's two areas of wetlands, one at the center of the site you'll see, which is an isolated wetland with a buffer. And then there's a second wetland that runs along the southern property line. It's a there's an existing ditch there that has a wetland buffer and 50-foot riparian buffer. So although the site is 5.6 acres, the environmentally restrictive areas reduces the site developable area to about 4.2 acres from that 5.6. Now what we are proposing for the site, moving to Exhibit A2, the applicant seeking approval to demolish all of the existing buildings and features on site outside of that environmentally restrictive area in order to construct two new buildings and associated parking. That site will function as a religious facility, as previously discussed by the client. The front building is a three-story, 10,460-foot footprint, located about the midpoint of the site, and it meets all the required setbacks for front yard, side yard, and rear yard. The first floor of the building will contain an exhibition hall and classrooms, and the architect will go through the building's a little bit more, but I just want to give a little bit of a rundown. The second floor will be the prayer hall, and the third floor will be where the living quarters are, the two apartments with two bedrooms each for the priests. This building is where a few of our variances are focused and created. So the use of this site for religious purposes, for worship and Sunday school type use, is a conditional use and permitted. The fact that there are living quarters for the priests for religious purposes creates the use variance that we're seeking tonight. The fact that there is this is a worship hall also allows for a maximum of 5 acres for the site. And since we are at 5.6 acres, variance is required. But again, as I described, due to these environmentally restrictive areas, you'll see we really kept disturbance out of a large swath of the southern portion of the site, and it reduced the developable area to 4.2 acres, where again the site permits a maximum of 5 acres. And one more variance focused on this front building is for building height, where a maximum of 35 feet is permitted, 38 feet is requested. And again, I'll let the architect discuss this a little bit more, but as Mr. Stahl stated, we did reduce the overall building footprints of both buildings by about 24%, but the height is certainly required, and again, partially for religious purposes. Now, the second building is a two-story, 6,570-square-foot multi-purpose building that's ancillary to the place of worship or the temple. It's set directly behind the front building, and the two buildings are connected by about a 5,000 square foot paved patio between the two buildings. Now the two, and again, this rear building meets all required setbacks as well. The two buildings total, total building coverage is 7% of the site, where 20% is permitted. So we're well with under the permitted building coverage. And again, we worked with the township to, make sure that everyone's happy with the proposal, and we reduced the building square footage by quite a bit, even though, as you can see, we're well under the permitted building coverage. Access to the site is by way of a right-in, right-out driveway. We consolidated the three curb cuts along Mettler's Lane down into one. So the entrance to the site leads to a front parking area. There's also 24-foot-wide drive aisles around both sides of the building that lead to parking on the sides of the building, and also to the rear of the building. There's a total of 168 parking spaces proposed, where 240 parking spaces are required. This, of course, is a variance is required for this parking. And we do have our traffic engineer who will touch on that a little bit more. But really, we have a shared parking condition here. The two buildings work, you know, they're ancillary to each other. We're not going to have one function at the front building and a whole separate function at the rear building. So if you look at the parking requirements for each building, the front religious facility requires 125 spaces and the rear facility requires 115 spaces, but really they're working together. And so that total, I believe is consolidated. And due to the fact that we have multiple worship times throughout the day, we're really reducing the maximum use of the site at any one given time. So we feel that there's more than enough parking on site. But there was a comment from our planner, or from the township's planner, into introducing land bank parking in order to possibly, you know, address the parking situation should an issue arise in the future. And so I did lay out where we would propose 25 to 30 additional spaces along the northeast driveway. You can see we kept parking out of this area, even though it's obvious that we could add more parking. And that's due to a 50-foot parking setback from adjacent residential properties. So you'll see on this additional exhibit, I created where this additional parking would be located. This is a copy of the overall plan that was submitted, but it has a modification to it to show these additional parking spaces. Now, I showed 30 spaces here, but of course, we may have landscape islands or may want to reduce the limits of the parking. So I'd say 25 to 30 spaces could be added to this aisle. And at worst, I'd say the parking setback would be 1.5 feet from the adjacent residential property, where 50 feet is required. So should the township like us to land bank these parking spaces, we would require a parking setback variance for these additional spaces of that 31.5 feet, where 50 feet is required. Now, moving on to, so the spaces are all 9x8, which is meets township requirements, and drive aisles are 25 foot wide, also meeting township requirements. We did make a modification based on fire official comments. The fire official wanted 25 foot interior radii, which we accommodated, and wanted us to, we previously had a one-way drive aisle and angled parking. We widened out the drive aisle to accommodate the fire official's comments and provided 90-degree parking here. So we did add some additional impervious coverage, which was offset by reducing the building. But I feel this actually works better with flow throughout the site and meets all the township requirements. We'll be providing EV parking spaces as required by the state statute. And 7 handicap spaces are provided at the northeast corner of the front worship building to provide accessibility to these religious facilities by way of sidewalk that interconnects around the two buildings. And we also provided sidewalk along the Metler Lane frontage along its entirety, which again is going to be under county review.
Can I ask a quick question, Chris? Sure. How many EV stations are you providing?
I believe it's 4% when you get over 150 spaces. So we'll meet the statute, but it's 4% of 168. So it'll be 7 EV spaces.
Okay, thank you. Please proceed.
The recommendation, they're operable when you open the facility. Is that your intent?
We have not discussed that. I believe we're only required make ready by the statute, but if
Some the township would like by statute, but some would have to be operable too. I suggest you just do put them in and have them work.
Well, what is the request, John? What's the request from the board?
To have the EV stations up and working for the opening of the center.
Well, I think that I don't. You think that's a problem, Chris?
No, no, not at all. It's not okay. Really the whether it's make ready or it's operational. We have to run the electric conduit to the space. It's really just installing.
I think we prefer that. I appreciate
that's only.
If you can accommodate that, that'd be great.
Thank you.
Please proceed.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
There is a dumpster enclosure provided along the northern drive aisle, right about the midpoint and adjacent to the existing buildings that will be enclosed and landscaped for screening purposes. And again, due to the environmental constraints and some of the grade change along the site, we're providing a retaining wall along the southwestern portion of the parking area. And this is where one of our variances required for the fence, the safety fence that sits atop the retaining wall. Since the retaining wall at its tallest point is about 9 feet and there's a 4 foot high fence on top of that, the fence is considered to be 13 feet high where 6 feet is permitted within a residential zone. And again, that's really driven by the fact that we have this environmental constraint along the property where we're trying to provide as many parking spaces as we can while also, you know, reducing any environmental impact. And I think that hit all of the proposed.
Chris, just so the board understands.
One more is a monument sign. Yes.
Well, before you do the monument sign, we have obtained a sewer easement from a neighbor. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And if Mr. Keneally wants to see a copy, I can get it to him, but we have access to sanitary, correct?
Correct, yes. And I'll touch on that. About to get to the stormwater and utilities, but the sanitary easement you'll see runs off the rear of the property through the adjacent lot and connects into the existing sanitary sewer system within Wickley Avenue. Just to touch on the monument sign, we're proposing a monument sign. It meets all the required setbacks. The setback is 25 feet and a maximum of 32 square feet. And there was a request to submit a detail. I believe we have an exhibit, or we'll submit a copy of what the sign will look like to the zoning board for the permit. But I believe we have a similar one used at another facility that we'll be providing.
Is that sign lit?
Yeah, I believe there's going to be uplighting, either uplighting or the sign will be backlit. We have not
not internal lighting.
Okay, so uplit. We can accommodate whichever the township prefers, but uplit would be fine.
The sign is just a standard sign. It's not digital or moving, I should say.
Static, right?
Moving on to some of the more technical items, the stormwater management. Since this is a major development due to the amount of disturbance and increased impervious coverage, we are required to address stormwater management, which we are handling via conventional stormwater management system of catch basins and underground pipe, as well as porous pavement. Due to the new green infrastructure requirements, porous pavement is being provided. It provides water quality, and the stone bed beneath the porous pavement provides quantity reductions in an environmentally friendly manner and meets all green infrastructure requirements. Where it will meet township requirements, and we're also discharging within the wetland buffer area, which requires a DEP permit, and we're filling the isolated wetlands. So not only will the township be reviewing the stormwater management, but the DEP will be reviewing the stormwater management along with the wetlands permits. So we'll get a thorough review of the design, but I'm confident it meets all requirements of the municipality, county, soil erosion, DEP, to handle stormwater and using green infrastructure and maintaining the existing drainage pattern, which is from Mettler's Lane towards the rear of the property, towards the ditch along the southern portion of the property. And that's where our discharge point is, to continue to maintain that existing drainage pattern. The sewer connection we discussed through the via the easement off the back of the property, and gas, electric, water is all to be serviced from the existing infrastructure within Mettler's Lane. The applicant is proposing a substantial amount of landscaping in order to provide some screening as well as beautify the site. There's a heavy buffer, a double row of evergreens along the northern portion of the site, northern property line, and along Mettler's Lane. There's a double row of evergreens along the southwest property line, and then we're utilizing the existing trees and environmental area to provide some screening to the south. You can see off the property line to the southwest, there's some existing woods that exist there today as well. Overall, we're providing 58 shade trees, 142 evergreens, 31 flowering trees, 429 shrubs, and 511 ground cover dispersed throughout the site, as well as internally and along the buildings. We have a request to provide some additional foundation plantings, which we are happy to do, and we can do so to satisfy the county professionals. And in regards to lighting, finally, we're designing the site to be safe and adequate, utilizing LED light fixtures. We have 13 pole-mounted fixtures mounted at 18 and a half feet high, with an average of 1.39 foot candles, a minimum of 0.4 foot candles in the drive aisles and parking areas, an average to minimum uniformity ratio of 3.48 to 1. And again, that meets all township requirements to provide safe and adequate lighting. And we have no spillage off into the adjacent residential properties. And the only slight spillage is to light the intersection of the site with Mettler's Lane, which is really a safety concern and is recommended really to provide a safe entrance for everyone. And that really summarizes my testimony, unless there's any questions.
Chris, in the northern back of the property, you said that you're putting in a whole bunch of evergreens, and I see that. Do you know what size they're going to be planted at, and what's they'll grow to? Any idea?
I can take a look real quick. If you bear with me, I'll take a look at mine.
Just wonder what the height would be at maturity to buffer it with the neighbors.
Mr. Gale, they're basically Norway spruce and the there are no green giants in there. I forget what it is. They're all going to go up 30, 40 feet.
Oh, okay. Then Chris, consider my question answered.
Yeah, if the board approves this application, what I suggest, Mr. Stahl, is that there is a number of recommendations in Mr. Hinterstein's report dated November 3rd, 2023, relevant to landscaping and a couple other improvements on the property. Have you reviewed those, and can you agree?
Well, I was going to get to Mr.
Yeah, we reviewed those comments.
I seldom disagree with Mr. Hinterstein. I was going to ask Chris if he can just indicate that all engineering comments and staff reports can be complied with. Do we have any issues, Chris?
Yes. No, we don't have any issues. I think there was a few comments that required some additional testimony, which I believe I have touched on.
Yes, you did.
Unless I missed anything.
Thank you. So the answer is yes, John.
The dedication of on Mettler's Lane, that's really a county jurisdiction. But are you willing to do that?
What do you think? Well, John, that's subject to the county.
I know.
If they say so, we do it.
Item 12 is county jurisdiction, and you would like that not included.
Chris, your call.
Yeah. I think if we were going to say yes right now, I would say an easement would be better so as not to impact, you know, coverages and setbacks.
Okay. All right.
But again, I think the county is pretty thorough with the review of the right of way.
Okay. And the only last item, maybe you did say it. Do you have a lights out provision on this plan? We generally ask when the temple is not occupied on service hours, whatever, most of the parking lot lights would be out, other than the intersection you described, the driveway that you described.
We have no objection to that, and we have all of our lights on a timer, so whatever the requirement is, we can.
All right.
John, what would that time be, 10 p.m., 11?
Well, I don't have the 10 out. Would be 10 would be fine unless during the holidays it's still being used, you know, for some late services.
Okay.
My report is dated November 6th, and Chris addressed most of the items that were of an engineering nature, so we won't drag this out any longer.
Okay, we can move forward.
Other comments?
Any other board members have any questions or comments for Mr. Solak? We're good. Mr. Stahl, you can move forward.
Yes, sir. Nahal, where are you?
Oh, Mr. Soleil, take your thank you.
All right. Nahal?
I'm here.
All right. Mr. Keneally, here he is.
If you raise your right hand, do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Please state your name, spelling your last name.
Sure. My first name is Nehal, N-E-H-A-L. Last name is Zaveri, J-H-A-V-E-R-I.
And what are you engaged as?
I'm an architect. I'm a licensed professional in the state of New Jersey and a couple of other states.
How long in New Jersey?
13 years.
And still valid in full force?
That is correct, sir.
Have you appeared before this board before?
No.
But other boards in New Jersey?
Absolutely.
Mr. His Camille, credentials Mr. are fine. Mr. Stahl, we can move forward.
Thank you. All right. Nahal, now you're my friend and I respect you, but don't take a lot of time on this, okay? I know you're proud of your work, but
the
I just
the board appreciates that ahead of time, by the way.
Okay. No, he's very good, but I know Nahal. I want you to describe elevations with material, the floor plans. You don't have to go through each element, because I think Rajiv did. So just, you know, I want the board to know what's going on, but we want to respect their time, okay? Go to
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. May I share my screen, please?
Yeah.
Yes, please do.
Thank you. Okay, I guess you can see my screen. Okay. First off, I have this sheet number Z1 dated 10/20/2023 at its first floor plan. What we have is two buildings. On the right side is the first floor of the main temple building, and to the left is just the portion of the second ancillary building. You would enter from the right side here on the first level. You go to the foyer, you go towards the, I mean, this is normally everybody will have to do it. They go, they take off their shoes, clean up their feet or wash their hands, come inside this lobby, go upstairs through elevator, or you would take the stairs to go to the second floor. That's primarily the main function of the lobby and the foyer area. If there is an exhibition of educational religious purposes in this exhibition hall, they would proceed to the exhibition hall and walk around and get out. To the back, on the first floor, we have four classrooms distributed along the entire back. along with them, you know, the men and women or boys and girls bathrooms, so that they don't have to cross the exhibition hall all the way to the other side of the front. And then you can get out from the back door, go towards the courtyard, and
stay for a minute, stop for a second. The indication patio play area, I mean, that is not for a child care. That's just an outdoor area where some of the youngsters can be when the parents are at services. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right, go ahead.
Thanks for clarification. And then you could go to the ancillary building. So that's how they are connected through this patio, open patio. I'd like to say that. When you get up to the second floor through the elevator and staircase, I'm going to go to the second sheet. That's the second floor. It's called Z2, again dated 1022. It is the second floor. That's where we have the main worship hall. Now, the worship hall has about 20-foot ceiling. I'll get to that, why I mentioned that. And primarily, you could come up the stairs, the monumental stairs on either side. They're open stairs. You can come up to the covered entry porch area, and you can enter the lobby, or you come through the elevators or stairs, come through the lobby into the prayer hall, because you've already taken off your shoes downstairs for the most part. You'd be in the prayer hall area. That's an altar is something, and all the space behind the altar is completely restricted just for the priest. Nobody else can go there. Again, this is very different than most of the other Hindu temples. We have this seven deities altogether, the five being the gods' shrines and the high priest area, and the other side we have the offering room. So that's how they consider the seven deities there. Behind the altar area, again, it's primarily restricted area through this staircase. From upstairs, the priests are going to come down. They would come down here, and then that's where they have various rooms here, mainly for storage and kitchen area. You may wonder why we have three different kitchens. Again, this is the way everything works, that one type of the food cannot really touch the other type, meaning the wet food, the dry food, and the daily food. Everything has to be separated. That's why we have these three different kitchens. And then you have all these different storages that we have for ornamentations and decorations and things along that line. Now, the priest has to come, and they will take the shower every time that they are worshiping or they are preparing things for God. So they have to come here, take shower, and then go inside the altar area. Only the high priest, whenever they come in, they have the access to the back. Again, he will also have to take shower and go in the back. So very, very restricted area. Nobody goes there. There's two staircases on either end, staircase 2 and staircase 3 on the other side. It would be used by the priest, and in case of emergency, it would be used from the third level. Now, you can go up to the third level through elevator and stairs. When I call third level, and I mentioned 20-foot ceiling height also, that ceiling height allows us to have some sort of a mezzanine area, but because technically speaking, it exceeds the building code requirement, we had to call it a third floor. Otherwise, it's merely a mezzanine because of how it's tucked in within the overall two-story space. So you have all these open area in the middle. You have a viewing area, a small viewing area. And then you have a smaller corridor on either side, what we call pilgrimage corridor. Again, they have restriction. They cannot go behind here for the most part because it's a priest area. And then a lot of the ceremonial storages that we're going to need, we had to take it from the second floor and put it up here. So we have two apartments for the priest. We do not have any kitchen in there. Again, they have to cook downstairs only, use that food only, whatever they're offering to the gods. We also have a high priest resting room. Whenever he comes here once or twice a year, whenever he decides to come here, that's where he's going to rest. And public can have access to him from this corridor with appointments mainly. As far as the second building is concerned, hopefully this is explanatory by now. I'm going to go to the second building, ancillary building. We call it dining hall. Sorry, I'm moving too much. Dining hall, multipurpose hall. That's where, again, all these social activities are going to occur for the most part. We do have a kitchen that's a warming kitchen. The food is brought here, and then we're going to warm it up and serve. Again, we have this accessory bathrooms and, you know, women and men's bathroom. You can go, again, this one, this hall has a monumental, about 20 feet ceiling height. Similar thing that we have done here, just above the kitchen area and the bathrooms, we have partial second floor only, which has the administration office, another offices, and some storage area that they're going to require vessels and things along that line if they need to put it up there on the second level. I'm going to go to the, first of all, I guess the first building, temple building, is about 25,800 square feet in total for all the floors. And the second building is about 8,000 square feet, the ancillary building. I'm going to go to the building elevations. What we have is a monolithic building, monolithic color, more or less throughout. It's going to be more or less a beige a sort of stone or stone looking stucco. We still have to figure it out what kind of material that we're going to have at the end of the day, but it's going to be the earth tone, and most of the things are going to be only one color, not multiple colors or not very vibrant colors or anything like that. There is a lot of Indianization that we had to do here. Some of these spears that you see here, they are more or less required. We have seven of them mainly because it represents the seven deities that we have inside. So it represents that, and that's why we had to have those seven spears up top. The height of the building is to the roof is 38 feet. And all the way on the top of the sphere, the highest, tallest sphere we have is about 46 feet. You have the corridor all around with, again, the more like a traditional Indian architecture is what we try to present here. Most of the time you don't see all around, but that's what we are trying to present here so that it does feel like very authentic, still grounded, not too tall, not too big, but that's what we feel that this represents under the front. Same thing happens all around. So all the other sites also similar colors, similar material, except for two materials. Most likely we will not have any other materials. We may have the, what they call it, fiberglass decorations. So a lot of these decorations or the roofs and all that could be made out of fiberglass that we have used on other temples in the area and outside of New Jersey as well. So we feel confident about that, how they're going to look and how they're going to fit in. Again, it's same thing on the other side. So pretty much the building is mirrored and identical on both sides. This is the rear of the building where the first floor is tucked in and the second floor and third floor are overhanging the portion of the first floor here. This is the courtyard side. I'm going to go to the second building. It is not as eminent as the front building because, first of all, it completely hides behind the first building. And we didn't make it too elaborate as the first building because it's just an ancillary building and it supports the activities that's going on the first building and the temple building. These are all the other sites, similar materials all around. So no variations in that, even if it's hiding behind. Lots of windows. Again, you know, we try to put a lot of natural lights and all that. That's what we have. Jim, is it okay if I go to the renderings?
Real quick.
Yes, I know I took a long
time. Thank you, Mr. Stahl, again.
Sorry about that. So this, you can see the overview of the, you know, the bird's eye view of the building, how they sit on the property and how they look. Again, the colors you can see, and the materials, more or less, you can see what we try to achieve here.
Okay. Looks good. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Any members of the board have any questions or comments?
One quick question, Mr. Chairman.
Please, John.
Are the Shookers going to have lights in them, or are they going to be dark?
I'm sorry. No, they're going to be dark.
Okay.
Yeah, we won't have lights above.
Those are the projections above the deities.
That's correct.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chadwick. Any other members? No, Mr. Stahl, put on your next witness.
Okay, where's my preeminent traffic engineer?
Thank you.
Oh, he's got his hand up already.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Could you raise your right hand? You swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth.
Yes, I do.
Your name and address, please.
Jay Troutman, McDonough and Ray Associates, 105 Elm Street, Westfield, New Jersey.
Thank you.
Hi, Jay. You are a traffic engineer. Is that correct?
Yes, licensed professional engineer specializing in traffic. Appeared before this board recently, actually.
Great. Yes, your credentials are fine. You can proceed, Mr. Stahl.
Go ahead, Mr. Jay. Just, you know the drill. Give us your analysis and take care of this board.
Yes, I'm going basically working from the outside in. We have a simple right in, right out access to the county road. So high control of turning movements, no difficulties involving left turns or anything like that. Because of that, right in, right out, we only really have to have gaps to get right turns out onto that two-lane section of Mettler's. We did what I'll call a worst-case peak hour analysis. We took the Saturday traffic volumes, which is the highest day, use day for this facility, and we assumed actually more of a church type event where everybody comes into a service and then everybody leaves, a lot different than what actually happens, but it's a worst-case traffic event. And we came up with a good grade on the level of service at level of service B in the Saturday peak hour. And again, operationally, I think this works in our favor from a traffic standpoint, just because of the flat traffic pattern of having six different services you can attend to see the gods. So all the people are spread throughout the day instead of focusing on one event. In terms of parking, I think the parking supply is generous. You could actually, with 168 spaces at three people per car, you could actually get 500 people on this site if that ever happened. Those are not the numbers that you heard earlier. That's a way higher number than what they would expect even on their largest festival day. The website scheduling for those larger, more intense days is an important condition, just again to keep the loading flat, and those turnover times in between as well are very important in terms of getting that parking lot empty before the next event comes. With all of that in place, we could anticipate smooth traffic operations. In terms of the parking variance, typically at religious facilities, while the buildings may have a lot of different spaces, the spaces are never used simultaneously for big events. And what I mean by that is the worship space may be active, and then the same people are going to go to the exhibition hall, and the same people are going to go to the classrooms, and the same people are going to go to the dining hall. So it's really just all the same people moving around to the different uses depending on what's on the schedule, so that you really don't need to park a site like this for simultaneous groups in each space. I believe the parking variance can be justified. The amount of parking can handle what I think would be the largest event here. And just as a safety precaution, I would endorse the banked parking spaces in case the township were to see something that they didn't like in terms of parking. They could always go to those banked spaces and require those to be constructed. I think that's all I have.
Well, I just want to clarify, we're looking for a variance for the 25 spaces, but we would bank them in the event the township required them. Is that what, I just want to clarify that.
Yes, it would be banked parking, meaning it doesn't you don't construct the spaces, but you reserve it. If the township were to require them to be constructed, they would only be constructed under that scenario.
Okay.
Any members of the board, Mr. Chadwick, you have any questions or comments?
Jim Keneally, the screen that showed the 25 spaces was not part of the submission. We should make that an exhibit.
Yeah, I believe Mr. Zelay said he was going to mark it as A3, but I don't think we did. I will mark that as A3.
Thank you. That was, yeah, Craig and Chris had put that up.
Yes.
And any other members of the board have any questions?
I agree with Jay's testimony. I think the 25 spaces probably will not be needed given the numbers that they talk about, but you never know in terms of the congregation. It might grow.
True. All right. Hi, Mr. Colling. Yep. Edward Colling.
Mr. Colling, are you present?
Yes, I am.
Could you raise your right hand? Swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
All right, Ed, give a quick overview of your life's experience.
Okay, well, I'm a graduate of Rutgers University in 1974. I've been licensed as a planner since 1984. I've appeared before boards throughout the state of New Jersey. I appeared once in Piscataway more than a few years ago at the planning board, but I have appeared more locally at New Brunswick and Franklin Township.
I believe Mr. Colling can be accepted as an expert.
Thank yes, you. I believe as well. Mr. Stahl, please proceed.
All right, Mr. Colling, you were engaged to do a professional planning testimony with regard to the required variances. Let's hear you.
Okay. And I'll try not to be too redundant because a lot of this has been covered by the other professionals. But I do want to point out this is an R20 zone that's primarily designed for single family homes on 20,000 square foot lots. The proposed use of a house of worship, temple, church, whatever we want to refer to it as, is a permitted conditional use. We will need a couple of variances from the conditions. The proofs for a D3 conditional use variance are really centered upon a proof that the deviations from the criteria will not diminish the property suitability for the conditional use. And that's what we're going to be discussing. We do meet most of the conditions or standards for this use. However, we do exceed the maximum permitted lot area, which is 5 acres. As the engineer mentioned, we're 5.6 acres. I think that we have to reconsider that it is impacted by the wetlands and the buffers. And so the resulting usable or functional area is more like 4.2 acres. And this is within the permitted lot area. And as such, I think that the proposed project is consistent with the intent of the zone plan and the intent of that particular regulation. And the granting of the variance would not have any detrimental impact on that intent of the zone plan, nor would it have any substantial detriment to the general welfare and public goods. In fact, I think the additional lot area does allow for a functional lot area and still allow for the wetlands and buffer areas to be protected. So I think that, again, the conditional use and variance in this regard can be granted. The other condition has to do with a building containing a hospital, church, or other place of worship, Sunday school or church school, shall not be used for any other use. And in my own professional opinion, I think that the temple actually does meet that criteria. I know there's some question about some of the other ancillary uses that are within the temple, but I would say that these functions are really ancillary, accessory, and essential to the function of the temple. So that I think we do fall within what the definition of a church is, or temple in this regard is a building or structure or groups of buildings and structures or structures that by design and construction are primarily intended for conducting organized religious services. And that's what the temple is. Any of those other functions, whether it be the church office, meeting rooms, the priest residence, for instance, or other preparation areas, are all accessory and subordinate to and customarily incidental to the church or temple use. Having a residence as part of a church is really rather common, whether you call it a parsonage, a parish house, a rectory. A residential component as part of a church is very common. So I think that this is really accessory to, customary, and incidental. However, if the variance is required, I see that I don't believe that would result in any substantial detriment. The residence, the offering areas, and all those other sort of functions are all within the church, within the temple, are all essential to the function of the temple. And I don't think that they really result in any detriment to the intent of the zone plan. Again, and I also think that the inclusion of those uses would have any detrimental impact on the general welfare of public good. Again, they're all within the building. They are not standalone uses. They're not standalone residences. So I think that the impact would be rather slight, if any at all. And in fact, this use is inherently beneficial. So I think you have to look at that from any impact on the general welfare or the public good. That same sort of discussion about the accessory versus principal uses, I think, plays into the parking variance. There is a parking requirement found in the conditional use requirements, and that is simply one space for each three seats or 72 inches of seating space within the house of worship. So that would be 125 parking spaces, and we have 168 parking spaces. So there's no variance from the conditional use standard. And I think that that's written that way because there's a recognition that these are accessory functions, and that as the traffic engineer pointed out, these uses don't compete with each other. They share the parking essentially. So that, so I don't think that there'd be any detriment by granting the variance to the parking requirement that is found in section 24702.2, which is I think it's the site plan ordinance. It's not part of the conditional use standards. There is a provision in that portion of the ordinance that talks about the parking requirement for each use shall be computed separately and then added together to compute the total number of required parking spaces. And I think as a professional planner that requirement is really more aimed at where you have a combination of principal uses, where each use is going to have its own requirements and its own parking demand. In this case, there really is only one principal use, the temple, and the other uses, again, are ancillary. And they're intended to function together, to complement each other, and they don't really have an increased, say, parking demand for each use. They share that demand. So I think that by granting this variance, there would be no substantial detriment to the intent of the requirement, the parking requirement, and there would be no substantial detriment to the public good or general welfare. Because although we don't meet the full level of 240 parking spaces, if you did it as a combined requirement, we do exceed the 125 spaces by an additional 43 parking spaces. And that certainly should be enough to accommodate any parking demands or impacts. And then also, as was described, we can create a banked area for additional 25 parking spaces should a demand be created at some point in time. The last variance that I will be addressing has to do with the building height. This variance also is not related to conditional use standards. It's a bulk standard applicable to the R20 zone. And as I was saying, the principal use within the R20 zone are for single family homes. So this height requirement is really more applicable to a single family home. Clearly a church or a temple is going to be larger than a single family home. Those types of structures serve a special type of need, a special type of purpose. They're a gathering place. They have a certain larger size inherent to just that type of use. Still, even though this is larger, the building itself is only 3 feet taller than what the permitted 35-foot height for a single-family home would be. And when you add the ornamentation, it does reach 46 feet. But this is not any different than the height differential that you would typically expect, say, from a steeple on a church or a minaret on a mosque or any other type of religious ornamentation on any place of worship. So I believe that this variance can be granted because the added height of the building and the rooftop ornamentation are really inherent to the use of the building as a house of worship. I don't see that this will result in any detriment to the intent of the R20 zone, which is really geared to the height of a single family home. And likewise, there'd be no substantial detriment to the public or the general welfare. The building is centered in the property. It's set back over 100 feet from either side. It's set back 250 feet from the rear. So I think there would be very little impact on surrounding property. So there's no substantial detriment to the public good or general welfare. And given, again, inherently beneficial nature of the proposed development, I think this variance can also be granted. And that concludes my testimony.
Thank you.
Any members of the board have any questions or comments? Mr. Chapman? Chadwick, sorry.
I'm done.
Sean, I have a question.
Sure.
Are there any plans for solar panels, particularly on the roof?
We haven't planned for it yet, but there was a discussion about it to make it energy efficient as much as possible. Because of the building codes that we have, it does make it pretty close to energy efficient, but we can certainly consider that thing.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Any other comments or questions? Okay, Mr. Stahl, I was going to suggest that we carry this so I could produce a full board to you sometime in December.
Yeah, the only thing I had, Mr. Cahill, was can we close? And I'm really going to, Mr. Keneally is going to have to answer. I mean, I was hoping we could go to the public, close it, close the presentation, and then the only thing that occurs in December would be a decision.
My concern with that is if the members who listen to the tapes or read the transcripts have questions of your professionals, then we're going to have to bring your professionals back and reopen the public again.
You're right. I defer to Mr. Keneally. He's correct.
I think Ms. Buckley has
Is it going to be a virtual meeting?
Yes, it is.
All right, so they could be available. We can work something out.
Yes. So are we going to carry this to December 14th, 2023 with no further notice?
That would be my request.
Okay, anybody in the public, the board only has 5 members this evening. The applicant is entitled to 7 members when a vote is taken on a use variance like this. The applicant has elected to carry this matter to December 14th with no further notice. The only notice you're receiving is my announcement here tonight with the hope that 7 members are eligible to vote. At the December meeting, the members who are missing tonight may ask questions. At the conclusion of that, any member of the public that wishes to speak for or against this application will have an opportunity to do so, and then the board would vote on the matter.
Thank you, Mr. Keneally.
VYO team, I just want to tell, I'll speak with the VYO team. It's not my intention to have everybody at that next meeting. We're going to work something out to be efficient. So on the 14th, we'll see what happens on the 14th.
Well, Mr. Saul, I could speak to the two other members that are missing and find out if they have any questions once they've listened to the transcripts. And if they had any particular questions for your planner or for your engineer architect, I would I'd let Mr. Cannelli know ahead of time.
Mr. Cahill, I was going to ask that, but I thought it was presumptuous of me to suggest that, so I kept my big mouth shut.
A presumptuous lawyer? No.
I know a couple, but I'm not going to mention their
names. I'm on one hand. Well, anyway, have a great night, and we'll see you on the 14th.
All right, have a great Thanksgiving, everyone.
You guys too. Have a great
you too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Let's move on to item number 15, the discussion of the adoption of 2024 Zoning Board. The calendar. I have no issues if anybody sees for a copy of it. Yeah, all in favor of the calendar, say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed? Okay, let's move on to item number 17, the adoption of minutes from the regular meeting of October 26, 2023. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Make a move to adjourn. Once again, everyone, thank you for your volunteering. Have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll see you back here second week of December.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you for coming, everyone.
Yeah, same here.
Recording stopped.
Hey, Laura, sorry, okay?
It's okay. No, you made it. We're good, Kalpesh. Things happen. I appreciate it very, very much. Thank you. Have a good week.
Okay, have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too. Thanks. Bye-bye.